Welcome back to hour number two of the program here as we go along at 412-928-9370. Hit me up on Twitter at KDPump. Joel Nelson is in the hot seat right now. Matt Harkins has left the building. So Joel will be taking your phone calls and putting you on at 412-928-9370. We've had a lot of stuff to get into today. I want to first remind you about our fan text line. You can hit that up. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Check out Virtual Wallet at PNC Bank. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, both here and at KDK+. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Speaking of KDK+, today the Riverhounds will begin their season. It's their opener at New Mexico, 4 p.m. You could watch it on KDK+. In the meantime, want to get your take about Pitt. Joel just mentioned they play tonight. You'll hear it here. 7:15 coverage begins. Tip-off at 7:45. They won the other night impressively. They won last week in Boston College really impressively. They're a team that can hit a lot of threes, and when they do, they're hard to defend. They have a couple of potential NBA players on their team. It makes an attractive team for the postseason, the NCAA tournament. But so far, they're not listed as in the field. They're first four out or next four out. I'm curious what you think Pitt has to do. To me, win tonight, impressively, that would help. Go to the ACC tournament, hopefully get a double bye, win at least two games. And if they do that, I think they have a legitimate case. We'll find out what some of these other teams do. But keep in mind, the tournament will come to Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena, hosted by Duquesne University again on March 21st and 23rd. They got a Thursday-Saturday rotation, and should be very interesting to watch some of those teams come to Pittsburgh. I always get pumped up for the NCAA tournament, especially the first two rounds. I think those are the most compelling. As it gets later, you know, the matchups get more intense. I get it. But I love all the drama that comes with the first round of the NCAA tournament. At 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. They've been hopping today. We begin with Ted in Elizabeth, who joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hey, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so, yeah, I know you're starting to switch gears here, and thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was just wanting to talk Penguins here for another little bit, if I could. I think the Penguins have serious problems in multiple places. Like, I think number one is that we keep on going to the cap, which then has us limited in who we physically have in the AHL that we can bring up because we don't have space for them to be in there. And so I think we have problems with assessing the players we have. Like, for instance, we just gave away Alex Nylander, who now has 7 points since he's been traded, is a plus two for the Bergstrom guy, who is 6 goals, 7 assists total in 39 games and is a minus seven. Not only was the giveaway that we just did with Gensel, but Ty Smith was in that trade as well, who was leading the AHL for us, and there was no room for him. We gave away back in the day, Tanev and Jared McCann was the people we said, hey, we'll expose them to let the Kraken take them. When we had the other expansion draft, we said, hey, we not only want you to take Fleury, but we'll give you a draft pick if you take him. I mean, I think how we assess players is horrible. The way that we handle the people that we have that are knowns in our own system. So this whole...
Let me ask you this, Ted. Do you think it... You know, they're trying right now. They finally came to grips with where they are, which is a team that's going in the wrong direction. But is it too late to do that? Now, do you retool them because you have such high-priced players, or do you absolutely rework the whole thing, rebuild it? How do you do it is the question. When you have so many players who have no trade, full no-trade clauses, I think it's almost impossible to do it that way. So I think they're stuck right now in a tough position.
Well, I think they're stuck as well. I think part of it was Rutherford would say, man, I made a mistake and get rid of his guys. And all we're doing is like getting rid of other people's, other general managers' problems and putting our own problems in their places. We're not assessing our own issues. We need to clear out the cap spaces. Like we're getting rid of our talent. We're not getting younger when we go ahead and switch off Gensel for a guy who's 1 year younger. And if it was supposed to be quality over quantity of draft picks, that would, or players, that didn't happen. The draft picks that are conditional on things that are like probably not going to happen.
Right.
I think we need to reassess a lot that's going on, and I think it can be done. I think we could have done it with who we have in our system now, is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think we could have done it.
I don't know about that. I still think they have a lot of issues, and again, I will say this, and thank you for the call, Ted. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I think people, you had to know that this day was coming. You had to know that when you do as much as they did, especially in Jim Rutherford's days, when they're trying to win and win a lot and win big, which they have, only two teams have had more Stanley Cups or the same amount since the 1970s. So they've had success in winning big time. They've won cups. When you do that, you do often have to give away a part of your future. Now, they have made some, to your point, Ted, they made some bad decisions. Jarrett McCann was a bad decision because for whatever reason, although you can argue he had his opportunity here, he never, if a different change of pace made him better, whatever the case, he's been playing at a much better clip. I also think they have underestimated the importance of a physical team. I think Mike Sullivan chooses not to play that way. He likes more of a skating team. That's fine, but you got to be able to play different ways. I don't think the Penguins can play the way they need to play, especially down the stretch and in playoff situations. I think they have turned their backs on guys who could have helped them physically from that department, which is why when Erik Karlsson, even though I understood that deal in the high end, but again, you're doubling down on exactly what you already have. You do need other things, and they didn't do that enough. And they have a team that skates, but they're getting older. They can't skate as fast, and they also don't have enough physical element to their game. To me, I want to see more of that. That's just my opinion about it. And it's hard to do, you know, play a physical brand when you don't have the people to play it. And I think that's where they are right now. So, is it a retool? Is it a rebuild? What is it? We're gonna find out in the next coming months. Because they're going to have some money to spend. Carter's going to be gone at $12 million, may turn into $15 million available to spend. What Kyle Dubas does with that money is going to be significant for next season. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Jeff in Dormont. Jeff joins us on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I always enjoy listening to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Just in regards to the Steelers and their quarterback situation, here's my two cents. If Kenny Pickett is the man, then they need to bring in a reliable backup, somebody like Joe Falco that could be there if we need him and teach Kenny. And I think they need to cut Mason Rudolph. And here's why, Bob, maybe draft a mid-range quarterback is the first time Kenny goes three and out, the fans, the media, all they're going to do is cry, get him out of there, get Mason in. So,
well, that's okay. I mean, that puts the pressure on Kenny Pickett. And if he can't handle the pressure, then get out of the kitchen. I think that's all part of it. They can't make decisions based on fear factor. You know what I mean? They can't do it.
Yeah.
Sure, you want to extract what's good out of Pickett, but they can't be afraid of saying that if you're not good enough, we're going to. And I think Mike Tomlin showed you that at the end of the year. He got away from him. Even when he was healthy, he stuck with Mason Rudolph. So I think there's validity in the fact that they want him back. But you can't make decisions based on that. And if you're a Russell Wilson fan, you can use that as you debate this issue because Russell Wilson would make you better right now. But he would also cost you another year of trying to assess what you have in Kenny Pickett. Therein lies the problem they have.
Right. Catch 22 situation.
Yep. All right, Jeff, thanks. But I still think there's some upside there, and I'm hoping that this new group of Arthur Smith and Tom Arth, the new quarterback coach, can bring it out of Pickett. And they need to do that because they got to make some really critical decisions when it comes to how much money they're going to spend on him in the future. Right now, let's go out to Bob and Freedom, who joins us on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good morning, Bob. Good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I wanted to talk about this a long time and never get through. The Steelers messed up 2 or 3 years ago when Dwayne Haskins got killed, and they panicked and signed Trubisky. That's the time they should have found out what Mason Rudolph could do. And they could have bypassed Pickett and took offensive and defensive linemen. So I think they just screwed up terribly back then. And the other thing they lost was Roquan Smith. They could have traded Dante Johnson for him with the Bears. And they would have had an inside linebacker for a long time.
Well, that guy, he has been terrific for Baltimore, and he's brought out the best in Patrick Queen, there's no doubt. They still have a chance to maybe get him. But thank you, Bob. I do think there's validity to what you say there, too. And if they had just gone to Rudolph, and they chose not to, they wanted to go out and get somebody. Again, Mitch Trubisky has revealed what he is, which is a journeyman backup right now. He just, when he gets in there, There are some good days, but there are a lot of bad days. A lot of quarterbacks have that on their resume. They're not. That's why he's moved around as much as he's moved around, and he's back to Buffalo as a backup there. But Rudolph, you know, they went to him. You can argue way too late. They should have maybe gotten more and tried more. I think that's something that I would agree with. But I also think they're not going, and the same hold true for Kenny Pickett right now. They can't just back off of him if they believe that he is what they drafted him to be. So the only way that happens is if you play him. And we'll see what happens in that regard. James and Cranberry is next up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, James.
How you doing?
What's up?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Pitt men's basketball as far as like the standings going into the SEC tournament.
What do they have to do?
So that's what I want to talk about, a little bit about. As far as my standing on that, I'm not sure if I want the whole moving up to three spot or if I want to like stay the five position and get like another win going into like a tough game. It's like obviously we need to win today, but as far as getting another win in the tournament, the SEC tournament, or going up to that three or four spot.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. I think they got to win here and just about win the ACC tournament. That's what I think. If anything's less, if they go in, win one, lose the next game, they're not getting in. There are too many teams ahead of them based on all this bracketology stuff that you see. Do I think they're capable of doing something? I think they're a good team. I think they should be in it. But I also know how this system works. The one thing to their advantage is they have guys, and I think the committee does enjoy watching players who are potential NBA players. I think Bub Carrington is worth watching. I think when you look at Blake Hinson and what he's been able to do, he set a single season record for threes at Pitt. You know, that's going to be a guy who's going to get a shot at the NBA. They like players like that. So it's a very subjective process, but, you know, they rely heavily on metrics. Right now, the metrics are not in favor of the Pitt Panthers. They got to do some work here tonight and in that tournament for them to get in. Steve joins us in Ligonier right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Steve, how are you today?
Good. I'm a little frustrated. I was listening to the show a couple hours ago. They said about Wilson coming in there for a quarterback that meant that the Steelers organization probably gave up on Kenny. I listen to the show every day. I listened how Kenny wasn't allowed to throw the long ball, wasn't allowed to use the middle of the field, didn't have a quarterback coach, didn't have an offensive coordinator, and half the time he didn't even have a receiver because people were hurt. That's a first-round pick, and there's all this talk of moving on from him, and Mason Rudolph got a bad deal with him. But when it comes down to him, he's getting a deal that's worse because he's had no opportunity to shine, and he hasn't stunk either, you know what I mean? I think with the right coaching, which someone should be fired over this.
Well, they did. They made changes.
It's too far in the career not to know what your who your quarterback's going to be. It's like wasted years.
Right. Well, they doubled down on Canada when they could have made a deal. Steve, thank you for the call. That's been one of their problems. And this system did not work out well. Now, is it the system? Is it Kenny Pickett? I think, again, the whole reason to bring in an Arthur Smith is to find that out. Tom in Oakmont is our next caller right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I have an idea to get a little bit to jump the Pirates offense up a little bit. McCutcheon is such an athlete. I think he ought to be considered for some spot duty at first base.
Too late. Won't happen.
No.
Nope. Yeah. I'd rather see Jared Triolo play there, quite frankly. I mean, I'm going to make a move, but they, you know, they brought in Tellez. They gave him money. He's going to be your most everyday.
Like a big hunk of whatever. I don't know. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Yep. All right. On that note, one more Pirate call. That's Carl, who joins us in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Carl, what's going on?
Hi, Bob. Before I mention the Pirates, I'd like to throw a plug in for Shaler Volleyball. They went to the state finals last year, and I have just about everybody back, and I wish them a good season this year.
Sounds like a factory to me.
Yeah. On Zawinski, what do you think of Zawinski? Can he improve?
Well, I think the improvement will come with putting the ball in play more than just home runs. He is a power hitter, and by nature, those guys are not going to put the ball in play all the time. I think he's a pretty good defensive player. I like his power potential. He's done stuff that we haven't seen in quite some time in his first 2 years in the majors. So he's a big part of what they do. But also doing it against left-handed pitching and being more of a consistent day-in and day-out player in that regard, get his average up, that's where he needs to improve.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. I was more intrigued with this Jared Jones. I mentioned him earlier. You know, he's a young 22-year-old, and he's been gassing it over 100 miles an hour. We talk a lot about Paul Skeens, and if you want to go to Aroldis Chapman. But Jared Jones is not a big stature dude, but he can really throw it. I was watching video of him yesterday, and I was very impressed with what he was able to do. And, you know, he made a pretty good rise from Greensboro to Altoona to last year Indianapolis. He'll probably start there again this year, but he may be a guy who comes up at some point. Charles, Kevin, Bert, Carl, hang on. We got to go to a break. We'll come back with more as we continue here. I want to thank our sponsors once again. That's PNC Bank, number one Cochrane, Ireland Contracting, Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We continue right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Giant Eagle Feed the Need to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank takes place on March 26th. You can donate now at 93.7thefan.com or text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. It's brought to you by Dollar Bank, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Wiggle Whiskey, Hampton Beer Outlet, Bill Few Associates Wealth Management, and Spitzer Toyota. 1 in 10 individuals, including 1 in 8 children, are food insecure. They need your help. You could do it right here on Feed the Need Telethon on 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani with you till 1 o'clock, and then it's Paul Alexander. Later tonight, it's Pitt and North Carolina State in a must-win. Right now, we go back to the lines. Charles in Chicago joins us. What's up, Charles?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Just first of all, I'm in my car driving real quick. Can you hear me okay with the audio?
Yeah, so far it's perfect. Yep.
Okay, just want to make sure. Just want to add real quickly. I think right now, Russell Wilson, as I think about it, I heard Tom Pelissero talk about yesterday with Rich Eisen, and then hearing you talk about it, it's going to probably feel like a reach they give him, because more likely, I'm sure Russell's going to want to start somewhere, especially when, you know, the Broncos did not want him. He wanted to still deliver a few more championships. I think the best scenario right now, as much as I want Russell Wilson, I think you try and re-sign Mason Rudolph to maybe like a 2-year deal, where realistically it's a 1-year deal, and then maybe you see what you got in the quarterback competition year two. And then this year's draft, I think you just continue to build around your quarterback, where it's Pickett or Rudolph, where you want to go. Truthfully, now Chuma Okorafor is out of the picture. Why not continue to build that offensive line, continue to shore that up, get some more protection? And that'd be about it. And lastly, I'd just like to hear your thoughts on a great loss for Bill Hillgrove right now, moving on. I'm still doing commentary with the Pitt Panthers. Bob, hope you have a great weekend. Always love enjoying your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charles. Yeah, Bill, that's a 30-year run with the Steelers. And as I said last week, I admire the man's passion for doing this. It's not easy to do it as you get older, I'm sure. And yet he just brought the energy still. It's a big part of what he does, and I'm glad he's hanging on with the Pitt Panthers, because I know he enjoys that, and he really enjoys the tournament coming up where you get constant basketball. So hopefully Pitt can make his season last a little longer before they get into – football as well. As far as I think they're going to trust Arthur Smith to turn these things around. That's why they brought him in. They also brought in Tom Arthur, quarterback coach, to work with these guys. And I think ultimately, in the end, you're going to have the same thing. You're going to have Kenny Pickett with Mason Rudolph and a draft pick. Those, and maybe somebody else. But I just don't see this happening. If it does, it makes sense. You know, if you're going to look at a low risk, low payment for someone who can bring a lot, that would be Russell Wilson. You don't get opportunities that often for a guy like this. He's 35, I know. They're not paying his salary. Denver has to owe $85 million in dead cap hit, and they owe him $39 million this year, so money won't be an issue. It's just about what he wants out of his career, and does it jive with what the Steelers want with their quarterback situation? That's why they probably met. We'll see where it leads, if anywhere. But at this point, I don't think it'll happen, but you know, who knows? It just depends on the dynamics of it. Kevin in Richland joins us right now. Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, not much. About Pitt basketball, what they should do is fire Capel and get Tom Izzo. Because every year,
This would be a, first of all, this would be a bad time to do that. You know, he got to the tournament last year.
Beginning of the year. He's ranked. He's got a 7 seed every year when the polls come out. And all year long, he's in a 7 seed. He's 9th in their league this year. They're 18-12. They lost to, like, the worst teams in the league, and they never change. It's all because of his name. And Pitt gets screwed.
All right, Kevin, thanks. But I don't think that's going to happen. He's had back-to-back 20-win seasons. That hasn't happened in a decade. If anything, progress is moving forward. This is a tough thing to navigate in college sports these days. This NIL, the transfer portal, you got to keep doing it. I think they've done a pretty good job with it. And I would expect that, you know, if somehow Carrington and Lowe return as two really good, and even Ishmael, he's been really good as a transfer from Rhode Island. You know, they could bring in some other people. They, you know, guard play is very important, and they've attracted some nice guards. I hope they can keep them, but you know how it goes. Somebody's going to be poaching around trying to give them more money, and therein lies your problem. 412-928-9370. Michael in Washington, Pennsylvania wants to talk some Pitt basketball. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to have a shout-out to the Pitt basketball team. Blake Hinson, you know, set the season with the three-pointers in one season, the most three-pointers. And, you know, they have back-to-back 20-win seasons, and the program was very, very down with the Stallings hire and the perception of it. And Capel's doing a great job. It took a long time. I think a lot had to do with COVID, too, hit, and he couldn't bring the recruits on campus. And it was a very, very tough, and I'm so very happy for the players, and especially the diehard Pitt fans that went there and continue to go there. And next we're going to need to probably have a sharpshooter to come in to replace Blake, and also we need a big man. From what I'm hearing, we're on a couple of the big guys. You need a seasoned guy to come in. I think Carrington, I think one of the two will return. I mean, I know that's we would love to have two, but I do believe it's going to be one. And I think maybe Lowe would be the one that comes back. So your thoughts, Bob, and thanks for my
question. Yeah, I think the points you make is a good one, Michael. Thank you. That he inherited quite a wreckage, you know. This program was in a real bad spot, and it took some time, as it normally would. Again, my word for the day has been patience with everything in sports. I know that people run out of it very quickly, but in order sometimes to get what you get, you have to be patient and let it kind of simmer, let it marinate, to use a word. But I think finally, you know, Capel's put a nice group of kids together. The challenge, and it always will be moving forward, is keeping them. Never used to be like this. And I think that's one of the things that I don't like as much about college basketball specifically, because there's so much movement. You can't get comfortable with whatever you have. That's just the way it is right now. So you got to deal with that dynamic. And Pitt doesn't have the kind of backing that some of these universities has. So, you know, in order to come up with NIL money, you got to hit sponsors who've already given a lot and ask them to give more. And that's hard to do. At 412-928-9370. Let's go to Tom in Hawaii. Are you actually in Hawaii, Tom? Are you from Hawaii?
Not from. I've been out here a little over 2 years.
Awesome. What part of Hawaii?
I live in Honolulu.
Oh, the gathering spot. All the population's there. It's a tough place to get around, isn't it?
What was that?
I said it's a tough place to get around. There seems to be a lot of traffic. That's the one area of Oahu that's the busiest.
Yeah, I will say traffic. I don't think I can say that word, but traffic is a you know what. but anyway, yeah, I really think Omar Khan is going to make a splash here in free agency. I think all the typical Steeler rules are going out the window. Generally, the Steelers really don't go and spend a bunch in free agency, but they've trimmed the fat. All the guys on bloated contracts. The only one I could possibly see coming back at some point would be Patrick Peterson, but he'd be coming in on like basically a vet minimum deal. But the reason why I wouldn't really picture that coming back is all the veteran secondary players who've been cut. You had Justin Simmons from the Broncos, and then you had Buffalo basically get rid of their entire starting secondary.
They really did. I was surprised by that, how much of it.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good players still, too. I mean, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, they still can play. It's just a matter of now, you know, do you go after him? How much will it cost if you do?
Yeah, that's my question. But I think, honestly, Omar Khan, we might see some waves made here.
I hope so. They need to do it. Thank you, Tom. And Mele Kaliki Maka in advance. That's Merry Christmas. It's the only word I know in Hawaiian. I could play you some music when you come back. If you call back sometime near Christmas time, we'll do that for you, Tom. Thanks for calling all the way in Oahu, downtown Honolulu. 412-928-9370. Let's squeeze in David in Bethel Park before we take a break. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, Bob. How's it going today, my friend?
What's going on with you?
Good. Well, the Russell Wilson, I'm a big Steeler fan, Uber driver, so I get to hear both sides from the teams that are coming in the city, you know, from the airport.
Yeah.
So basically, with Russell Wilson, and hear me out on this, you bring Russell Wilson in either on a 1 or 2 year deal, preferably a 1 year deal. This gives him an opportunity to prove himself to the league that he's not all of this yada, yada, yada that both teams have made him out to be. Plus, he gets, you know, Pickett, of course, gets to sit under him and understand Arthur's, you know, play. You know, bottom line. Now, if he takes us to the championship in the Super Bowl or whatever like that, now you can sit down and discuss certain things with him. And Kenny's, unfortunately, had his opportunity. But 25 games in the league should be enough time for a team such as the Steelers, especially Steelers, to see that this young man either doesn't have it, even though he was under old boy, still his you know, even though the plays weren't crisp, you should still be able to complete passes as a quarterback.
I also think, David, you know, I think it's also decision making, right? I mean, I don't think he's made proper decisions. There have been guys that have been open, he hasn't looked in their direction. I think that's a big part of it as well. So, to your point, 25 games to some is enough. To others, it's not enough. And, you know, they operate, too, with this. This is an investment they've made in him. You could have very easily not taken a quarterback in that draft and beefed up your offensive line, which there were some good people available. They could have had them here and moved ahead in that department and then tried to figure out the quarterback situation a little bit later.
Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping that they bring him in. Mason Rudolph is a big-time question mark for me because I don't want to see him come back here, beat Kenny Pickett out, but yet we've got two mediocre quarterbacks trying to be the man. And you beat him out only to end up with a just barely winning record all over again. I think we're spinning our tires here. We need to bring in – we've already brought in an offensive coordinator who's got fresh ideas, a new outlook. I'm quite sure Kenny and the rest of them have got the playbook or will be getting the playbook soon. They'll start learning his plays and things and how he runs the system. But I do believe bringing in Russell will work for us, and I'm rooting for that young quarterback, Milton, to be a part of our team also and bring him up in the ranks. You know, give him somebody to sit behind for 2 good years and then let him see what he can do.
All right, Dave, thanks. And keep on driving around. I'm glad you're listening, and we do appreciate your call today. 412-928-9370. We're due for a commercial break. Gavin, you'll be next when I come back. Our show brought to you again by PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. And don't forget about the Turn Club out there in Cranberry on a rainy day like today. You want to hit some golf balls on a great simulator with some great food? That's the place to go. We'll be back with more as we get closer to 1 o'clock. Paul Alexander will be here from 1 to 5. Join him. And then later tonight, it is Pitt and North Carolina State, a 7:45 tip. Our pregame coverage begins at 7:15 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Big day today. We got the Penguins playing Boston. You wonder what the Penguins are going to do over there. Boston is a real legit team, and they're playing a 3 o'clock afternoon game. Then they come home quickly and will play 1 o'clock tomorrow against Edmonton, and the Oilers have really turned things up. Zach Hyman is on our terror, playing with Connor McDavid on that line, Draisaitl and others. They got a good team. Evan Bouchard back defensively is one of the best puck-moving guys in the game. Will their goaltending hang up? Well, you know, that'll be a problem. The Western Conference is pretty much loaded. And then tonight, 7:45, Pitt, North Carolina State. That'll be at the Peterson Event Center. And senior night and a chance for the Panthers to go into the ACC tournament, perhaps with a double bye, which is what they need. All right, you heard the trade that Denver here has made with Cleveland. So Jerry Jeudy, a wide receiver. Joel, I'm glad you saw this because you made me aware of it on your update. He ends up to Cleveland in exchange for a fifth and a sixth round draft pick. Jerry Jeudy is somebody who could be well used in Cleveland. They need some more help on their wide receiving core, and Judy's the guy who's going to give it to him. So for a fifth and sixth round pick, that's the price. As far as what's going on here, again, Russell Wilson now, from what I understand, has left town. He's in town, he met with the Giants. It's the same thing. You don't ever know what you're going to end up getting. So, Paul Alexander, you just sat down. Let me get your take on this. Even though I think we talk about this way too much, until they do moves, I still think, and I'm going to go back to what I think they're going to do. They're going to sign a Rudolph to a deal that he's comfortable with, and they're just going to bring in another quarterback draft pick at some point of this draft. I do not see them bringing in somebody who would immediately become a starter over Pickett. They sound
not,
like they're
not even for $1.2 million.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think it's
a low risk.
It is a low risk, but
if Kenny can't handle,
I'm not saying that.
That's not the issue.
But if they come to him and he says, "I'm starting. I come here only to start. I'm not coming." You don't know what's been discussed,
right?
Would there be a competition if you're bringing Russell Wilson?
I don't think
because
so.
Because the profile suggests he would be your starter, right? And I would agree with that because he's done a lot more.
A Super Bowl winning starter.
At $1.2 million, and I've said that's attractive. But to me, it comes to what they want out of this draft pick.
Well, I mean, to me,
if he comes in and tells you, "Hey, I'll come here, but I have to start," what would you tell him?
I think the best organizations, and I think you're going to see people do it more and more, and I always use Najee and Jalen as my example, ignore draft selection and position people by ability, period. Terrell Edmonds would still be a good safety here. Yeah. They wouldn't be without one right now. If he never lived up to that first.
He still could
Who
come
cares?
Back.
He can play, and he contributed, and he fit well with Minka. But you had to get rid of him. Why? Because he was a first-round pick that wasn't a star. He was a first-round pick that was a solid player. He was like a Darren Perry that came in like the sixth or seventh round going way back. So ignore where everybody's drafted. Actually have legitimate tryouts.
I would agree
with
that.
This guy's better. He plays. Everyone else can shut up.
But I also think they have to know more information before they make any future commitments to him. That's the only reason why they've said this is a huge year for Kenny Pickett.
Well, Bill Walsh, famous for saying, once a quarterback has started 25 games, you know what you have. Guess how many Kenny started?
Yeah, exactly that. 24, 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you know? Not a damn thing.
I don't know much. I've seen flashes. I've seen good flashes. I've seen
a lot of bad reads. Like.
I've seen a willingness not to stay in the pocket, which I think has to change.
His pocket presence is remediate at best.
That's what Mason showed you. I want to go back to the lines here before we go over to you when you start your show one. You can still hang on if you want.
No. I got stuff. I have snacks I have to arrange and drinks and beverages.
4 hours, you need a lot of snacks. You may need some alcohol.
Rations.
Is that allowed?
not as far as you know.
Hey, Gavin, what's going
on? That's water.
Thanks.
How you doing, Bob?
What's up, man?
Big fan of the show.
Thank you. What's going on?
I served you at the Sheraton last night. That was a pretty nice event you had.
Oh, yeah, for the American Heart Association. That's always a good – they raise a lot of money, and it's – listen, I think everyone has heart issues at some point of your life. They may be smaller. Some of them may be bigger. But the work they do in terms of research, that's why funding is so important. So I'm glad you had a good time. It was a nice time, I thought.
Thank you. And also, I was going to see what you thought about the Kyle Dubas trade deadline.
Well, I think to give that an accurate grade, you have to wait. I think he was stuck, you know. Jake Gensel had turned him down on every offer they made, apparently, and he couldn't agree to the money Gensel wants. So what do you do? Do you keep him and then lose him for nothing? No, you get what you can. And they have to begin something here, Gavin, whether it's a retooling or a rebuilding, although that's tougher to do, I think, at this juncture. They had to do something. So whether or not these two kids coming in who are both second-round picks, and there's another kid too, he's only 19, and, you know, you don't expect to see them anytime soon. It would be nice if you did, but I think this trade will be evaluated in time. As it is right now, it looks like a nice move for Carolina. They're getting a rental player. They have had problems scoring, you know, big goals in the playoffs. That's what Jake Ensel does. So for them, it's good. They had the opportunity to do it, and they did.
I agree.
Did you like it?
I mean, I'm obviously miss Ensel, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That's the thing. He wasn't willing to stay for less. And a lot of people will say, well, he's a creation of Sidney Crosby. I think he's got a good hockey sense, and I think he'll do well playing with guys like Sebastian Aho, Martin Natchez, whoever they pair him up with down there. Thanks, Gavin. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good day. Let's go to Joe in Hopewell Township. What's up, Joe?
Oh, hey, Bob. Thanks for getting me on again. So this is what, you know, this is what I'm thinking here. I mean, we haven't – what's wrong with keeping – Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, I mean, and Russ Wilson, and let them compete. Let the better man win. I don't understand why, you know, if you get Wilson for $1.2 million, why not just pay Mason Rudolph, you know?
Yeah, they can do both.
$10 million and let them compete.
But it sounds easier said than done, because Mason Rudolph may look at that and say, well, why am I going? First of all, they have Pickett, now they're bringing in Russell Wilson. I don't have a shot, so he'll go elsewhere. Number two. Again, with Russell Wilson, to me, it's an easy no-brainer. For $1.2 million, you take him. You put him on your roster. But he has to be willing to do maybe backup duty, and maybe he's not willing to do that. I don't know what went on in those discussions. But on the surface, $1.2 million is a no-brainer for someone of his pedigree. You don't get opportunities. Just as I would think Justin Fields for a third-round pick is something you don't get too often. They may look back one day if they don't do these and say to themselves, we could have had these guys at a really small price here to pay. So that's right. Kind of the conundrum they're in right now.
I just don't understand what Kenny Pickett. I get it. He's a Pitt kid. But I don't see what he's done. He had 25 starts. Mason Rudolph's had 13 starts. Giving somebody a chance is getting him and putting him in there. I haven't seen good football for years until I saw Mason Rudolph go in there. And then all of a sudden, the whole offense starts clicking. And they just continue to bury Mason Rudolph. I think he's your answer. I truly believe Mason Rudolph is a top five quarterback in the league. That's what I believe.
Well,
I'm pretty smart.
Joe, I
can see the way.
Well, you went to Hopewell. Of course you're smart. Thank you for the call. I will say this. I think if they had gone to Mason Rudolph ahead of Mitch Trubisky, they went out and signed Trubisky, thought he was going to be better, and so did I. He's a second overall pick. I thought the pedigree were there. But he's just going to be what he always is right now, in a journeyman. If they had gone to Rudolph and maybe committed to him a little earlier, maybe they would have found this out earlier. I do know that Mike Tomlin stuck with him when he could have gone to Pickett in this postseason and down the stretch here. That says a lot about what he thought of Mason Rudolph. And I do believe them at their word that they want him back. But, again, this is going to eventually, you know, work itself out, and we'll find out where it goes. But the famous legal tampering period begins on Monday, where you can tamper legally. That seems like an oxymoron, Paul. That's like legal tampering. When you're tampering, that's like, not a good thing.
It's like military intelligence.
So I just...
Jumbo shrimp.
Jumbo shrimp. There you go. That's another good one. Anyway, so I think that's going to be very interesting to see where they go with this. They have a lot of needs. They need center. They need inside linebackers. They need corners now. I don't think they have enough. They need a safety. You can't satisfy all of these things in one draft. You can help in free agency, and they're going to have some money to spend. It looks like about $20 million. How they spend it will define what goes on here for sure. That's going to wrap it up. Joel Nelson, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Once again, thank you to PNC Bank, number one, Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich & Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House for your support of the program. We do appreciate that today. As far as the fan weather is concerned, it's going to be breezy with rain, and it should continue most of the day, 53 degrees. And then tonight and overnight, you'll notice on a night where you're going to lose an hour of sleep that the temperature is going to fall. You're going to lose sleep and lose temperatures, too, because it's going down to 32, and it's going to be some snow potentially around. Not anything that's going to accumulate, just snow showers. And then it's going to warm up midweek as we look at the long-range forecast. That's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet McMurray. Save some green in March at sunchevy.com. That's going to do it for me. Have a great remainder of the day. Paul Alexander is here for the next 4 hours. Give him a call at 412-928-9370. And then later tonight, it's Pitt and North Carolina State, as Pitt needs to win and continue to win. And that's going to do it for Joel. I'm Bob. Have a great day. We'll see you on KDK tomorrow night, number one Cochran Sports Showdown, 1135. Aloha.